Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 357. I am Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Phil Wilson.
Hola.
Did you say hola? I wasn't sure what that was.
I was going to go with hola, yeah. It's a little international flavor today.
Well, hey, we have some interesting Minnesota stories this week, and it's not
the
just...
plane.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Looking ahead a little bit towards that story,
Don't be revealing all the good stuff.
Well, let's. Why don't we just talk about that right away then?
Let's do it.
To me, it seems like really interesting stuff, and that's spy planes
still overhead.
Still circle Minneapolis.
Yep. And this was based on some. On an article by BuzzFeed, actually, that went through all the planes that are overhead, and NPR did a news piece on it here. And a year ago, the FBI admitted that it was behind this mystery plane that was circling over the Twin Cities that was actually found by Flight 24. There's an app radar company that follows all the flights in the air, and you can follow them in real time. And so BuzzFeed put together this clearer picture in their article about how extensive this spying operation is, and it's very extensive in Minneapolis. So not only do they have high-resolution cameras with augmented reality showing business names and street names and all of that overlaid over the image, but also the FBI has various devices to capture cell phone conversations overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently that is still going on in a big way.
And the article and actually the whole piece kind of goes into a little bit more detail as to why Minneapolis. And you find it interesting that Minneapolis has this sort of reputation. I think it revolves around the Somali community alleged. I don't know if I guess the recruiting that goes on in the Twin Cities area.
It's because of two guys that got recruited
right
out of Eden Prairie. Actually, there's some subsidized housing over by Eden Prairie Center, and there's a very large Somali community in that area, and so supposedly that's one of the reasons that Bear Path people are having a hard time selling their homes because of all the crime and the schools in Eden Prairie. It's like, wait, what? I've lived here for 25 years.
What?
It's like, what? and there's this wonderful Somali community here.
Yes.
Not that I'm not wary of anything that could potentially be going the other way, but when I see 50 young men playing soccer in the field right, six blocks from our house, and these guys aren't playing soccer so that they can then huddle and come up with schemes or something. I mean, anyway.
Well, it's always interesting that we continue to struggle against racism in any kind. We continue to struggle against profiling and that sort of, but it still goes on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And right or wrong, as citizens, we seem to tolerate it.
Should regular people be worried about this?
Regular people be worried about planes, or should they be worried about the community?
I wonder what other information they get from doing this.
I think that I'm probably more concerned about spy planes overhead than I am the Somali community. But
well, I think that's what you meant, Tim, right?
Well, yeah, it's like, okay, what other information did they glean from this? Operation apparently.
Yeah, if they're flying overhead, if they're circling Eden Prairie, for example, and capturing video and capturing cell phone conversations, that means that every cell phone that inadvertently connects to what the phone thinks is a tower, but is actually a device on the plane itself, their stuff's going to get scooped up too.
Ooh, good idea. I've just had a good idea for an app. You could call it the Dirt Box Finder.
you get right on that, Tim.
All of the towers that it connects to, identify all the dirt boxes.
Oh, man.
I do get it. I do love whenever I see a news article online, I just enjoy going into the the comments now. I very rarely weigh in, but the comments just, apparently the FBI also has an attraction to the Arbor Lakes area of Maple Grove. Not many Muslims there, I don't think, but there is a Costco.
Oh, geez.
It's lobbying. You never know.
Comments are always fun. All right, so let's shift gears, because I don't know who found this article, but I got to tell you, this is really exciting. University of Minnesota is part of a $317 million national initiative to develop smart fabrics.
Yep.
And this is a category that, with our business, The Trend Curve, we've been following this actually for a couple of years. And there's a lot going on. You know, major companies are moving forward in this in a big, big way. But, you know, with various nanotechnologies that can be conductors, you know, for electronics, for example, mm-hmm. And lights. So Philips has created carpet fibers with LEDs in them. And there's all kinds of really interesting things going on, and actually stuff for sale. And so it's great to see the U of M involved in this.
Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at the story, which is a University of Minnesota press release page, isn't it amazing how, you know, the conductivity of what appears to be Donald Trump's hair?
We're looking at a picture, everyone, of some fibers being held by someone, and it does. I'm sorry, it looks like Donald Trump's hair.
It looks just like Donald Trump's hair. I'm sorry.
You know what? Maybe that's where he got it. You know what? Maybe he has smart hair. I was just going to say, and someone is feeding him things to say.
Right. Really good things. So that's why it makes so much sense. It doesn't appear like off the cuffs is making crap up. It's like someone's whispering in his ear or his hair.
How funny.
Well, so the whole use of conductive fabric, I mean, that's the one thing that we should probably dwell on is that, you know, there are so many things that you can think of.
Smart underwear comes right to mind. I'm not sure what would make it smart, but, you know.
Smart underwear. Well, things like monitoring health, your health via fabric. There's also fabric that would charge electronics, things like that. So it's a very interesting technology.
Well, and
shirt could be a big antenna.
Or your shirt could be a big antenna, right?
Well,
you could be a hotspot.
Yep. And one of the most interesting aspects, and mainly because we're doing a lot building sites for senior. We got an elder law firm, and we have the senior association and a bunch of others. I've learned a lot about the senior marketplace and what's going on. And one of the things that's really exciting about this, not just for seniors, but for anyone, is to have fabrics that you can wear that will act as a Holter monitor, for example, to watch your heart rate the whole time, and also your respiration and your skin temperature and all of that, and to really be a diagnostic garment. And they're doing that already for beds, but they actually have to implant devices under the mattress. And so that's another area that's just in its infancy. Not even its infancy. Geez, it's still in the zygote stage. You know, so it's there's some cool stuff.
It's always great. You know, still great stuff coming out of the U. So yeah. If they could only lower their tuition rates.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, sessions are up for Minibar.
I think they're still accepting sessions too for Minibar. So because it is an unconference,
it is.
I was kind of cruising through it, though. There's no necessarily an article here or anything other than that. Just pointing out, I did find I found it interesting. There are a lot of sessions regarding the job. You know, finding a job, recruiting. The workplace, that sort of a thing. So I found that kind of interesting. Now, it's not dominant by any means, but I did notice there's lots of career advice waiting for you at Minibar.
Interesting. Well, but there are a lot of great sessions here.
There are.
It's going to be at Best Buy on April 23rd, and tickets will be released soon.
They did release tickets, the first batch, I believe, on Thursday, was it?
That was batch for supporters, though. I think.
No, that was
for general.
They made it public. Okay. And then there's another release coming. I can look it up for you guys.
That's
all right.
That's cool. Interesting. So,
take a look, follow the link that we've posted on Minovate.com, and you can see what sessions are there. Again, lots of very cool things to take advantage of.
I'm sure that Steve is going to go to that build a self-driving car session.
Probably.
Well, actually, I'm waiting for the kit so I can just slap the kit together.
You can convert your Prius over to a self-driving car.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to drive your way over to the Costco in Eden Prairie there.
Well, I could, but...
Followed by a plane.
Followed by a plane.
Closely followed.
Yeah. Yeah. Bought some gas. Yes. Tickets, another 600 registrants will be able to hop on and get tickets soon. On Thursday, April 14th.
Okay.
2 o'clock.
So now, Phil, you put something in here about Technovation MN needing judges. Are you involved in Technovation?
Yeah, you know that. Technovation MN, I'm on the board there, and we are gearing up for Appapalooza. And Technovation MN obviously revolves around the Technovation Challenge, which is a global initiative, and where groups of young women get together, at schools. We've got high school level and middle school level girls working on apps and business plans and things like that. And it all culminates in what we call Appapalooza, which is scheduled first part of May. And we are in that phase of looking for judges to watch the pitches and use what is established by Technovation Global to judge the presentations and the apps and the business plans that these groups are putting together. So if you're interested and you have somewhat of a tech background or, even just interested in watching some of these presentations, there's a link on the website firminnovate.com that they'll take you to the judges opportunity. We want you to kind of hurry up. I think that, it's supposedly ended on the 8th, but I think we'll probably still take judges until
for a while. Okay.
We are done. So.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of teams this year. It's probably, maybe double last year. So there is a huge amount of need. So we'd love to have you check it out.
Great. And then our pals at Mayo Clinic that we talked about last week, we talked about their virtual reality technology, which helps to eliminate the nausea and the vertigo that you get when you're in a VR, when you have a VR helmet on or VR goggles. And they just struck a licensing deal already.
Yay.
And so there's a Los Angeles-based company called Vmokion, an entity created through a partnership between Mayo and Hillstrom.
It's probably V-Motion, but they spelled motion incorrectly.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Thanks, Tim. You're absolutely right. And then Hillstrom Media Technology, who I've never heard of them. Have you?
No, I haven't either.
And I looked them up, and they don't have a website, but...
Huh. Maybe they're a company that provides sauce to, OEMs that make these things.
Most likely an entity that was built
strictly for that, or a holding company.
Because the chairman is Dr. Brad Hillstrom. So,
now you're into it.
Okay.
Get interesting when we see Samsung or Oculus or someone like that.
Right. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Huh.
And then there also a little story about TrueCliff, which TrueScribe is part of True. Is that what's the relation?
They're kickstartering their this TrueCliff
language.
It's a language. It's a community. It's very hard to understand. I'm
glad it's a floor wax.
Story on it, and it does explain it, but it's still not 100% clear exactly in my mind what this thing does.
It's a visual language to communicate globally, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can communicate visually.
Right.
Yeah. It's got, this is a long Kickstarter campaign. They have 39 days to go. They have 17 backers. They're trying to reach $100,000 pledged, and they're at 1,500. That's going to be a slog.
Well, I think part of it is, it's one thing to release something and then have people pick it up, like hashtags. When Chris Messina first did a hashtag in Twitter, when Twitter was super early on in 2006. People liked the idea instantly, and a few others picked it up, as did the leaders of Twitter, founders of Twitter. And that's really what got hashtags moving. Mm-hmm. Is there was this, you know, sort of organic momentum that happened. And I'm just wondering how this is, I mean, how is something like this going to be translated to visual representations in, you know, in WhatsApp, if you're using that? I mean, how do you, I mean, are they all going to be images? So it's just, I'm not clear on how people are actually going to use it.
It looks like it's some sort of a symbolic language that right. also all the symbols relate to what the object looks like.
Yeah.
So, or the thing, you know.
Well, we're going to put a link into the show notes that Graham Thickens actually put a post on here about TrueScribe kickstarting this global visual language. And I'm going to, you know, I've read it through and I really like the way Graham writes, but I also have to just read it through again, just kind of think about it and think about how it might be used. So, but pretty interesting stuff.
Yes.
Well, let's segue, young men.
This week in encryption.
This week in encryption. Okay. Let's do that. So the encryption debate.
Yes.
So the U.S. is continuing to do the iPhone case, you know, trying to get them to release or to essentially put a back door in the iPhone. Mm-hmm. So that's still going on.
Yep.
And then Wired Magazine had a couple of really great articles that I would encourage people to read. One is Forget Apple versus the FBI. WhatsApp just switched on encryption for a billion people. And WhatsApp is actually using the Signal protocol. We've talked about the Signal app for Android and iOS in the past. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there's now a new Chrome extension for the Android version of Signal. And I'm hoping that they quickly do the iOS version so that you can actually use Signal on your desktop. I've been encouraging clients actually to stop sending passwords and credentials through email. And I've been Oh God, no, I never do it, but I hammer on clients, but then sometimes they'll say, hey, I lost that. And can you send it to me? Now that gets challenging.
Why? No, I can't.
Well, I've set it up so that it's easy for people to communicate with us securely and upload files securely and so forth. But for me to send it back is a challenge. And so as a consequence, I'm encouraging people to use, you know, do you have a cell phone? Yes. What kind? I have a Samsung Galaxy S5. Okay. Get the Signal app and then we can communicate that way. Mm-hmm. And so, so that was cool. So anyway, so this WhatsApp protocol or Signal protocol is embedded in the WhatsApp and now is end-to-end encryption.
Do you guys know anybody that uses WhatsApp? Do you guys use WhatsApp regularly at all?
No, we're not in the demo though. We're too senior to be in the demo.
My son doesn't use it either. He's 23. So
WhatsApp is very big internationally, not necessarily in the U.S.
Correct. But that's how Skype happened though too, is because of the fact that if you could see your friend's house, if you were in Germany, you could see your friend's house across the border in France and you called them, it would be like, you know, $8 a minute or €8 a minute. I mean, it's just some insane amount of money. And so Skype took off in Europe because of the country to country calling costs. And the same thing happened with WhatsApp, is that people wanted a messenger app that worked across devices and all of that. And that's really why it took off.
Because we missed out on good things because we don't have many bordering countries. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, but how great is it, though, to be able to drive to Wisconsin without having to show your papers? And
that'd be a wonderful thing. Well, wait a minute. They do ask for your papers in Wisconsin. No, I'm sorry.
That's right.
They don't do that anymore. They do want to check, make sure you got
it. Oh, man.
You don't have any new Claris beer other than that, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then our pals, Senators Dianne Feinstein and Richard Burr in California. No, Burr, where is Burr from? He's not from California, is he?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth.
Well, anyway, they drafted a bill called the Compliance with Court Orders Act of 2016, which would essentially force technology companies to put in back doors for law enforcement if they were so court ordered.
I did get a kick out of the language. Well, first, the bill is ludicrous, for one thing.
It is.
As the headline says in this particular piece that we have linked to it. But what was the verbiage? If that data is unintelligible, the legislation would demand that it would be rendered intelligible. That's a bold request, because a lot of stuff, even if it's written in English and not encrypted, the Senate seems to have a hard time understanding. So making it intelligent or intelligible is going to be difficult. But yeah, it's any bill that only has 9 pages, you can also say, is probably not covering all its bases.
Right.
Once again, trying to legislate something that's going to be very, very, very difficult to legislate.
Well, and it just... Go ahead, Tim.
These lawmakers, I don't think they understand what's at stake here. No. They really don't understand the technology. They don't understand the implications. And I find it interesting on the liberal side, they're hammering the police on one area where, right, all of these African Americans are being killed. And on the other end, they're giving them carte blanche to spy on anybody. Right. It just seems not consistent in your worldview, but...
Well, I think it's all coming from a base of fear, because when you really look at the fact that if we, the three of us, were responsible for, keeping America safe, for example, we'd be freaked out over encryption. It'd be like, oh my God, if everybody starts using WhatsApp, we have zero clue. We can't see anything. We can't watch anything. And we can't tap into anything. We're done. It's over. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's been over since the 90s.
Well, you're going to have to figure this out. This is similar to what happened in World War II, that Germany was working on an atomic bomb. So we worked on one too, and we beat them.
Yeah.
We're going to have to do a encryption Manhattan Project to beat the terrorists.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's not going to be easy. And I'm sorry, but it would be great to have a backdoor if you were in the NSA or FBI, but... they're going to have to do it in a way that's not so overt, I think.
Right.
Well, so they'll probably stick it somehow.
I think we need to, out of fairness, at least, we should say this is a draft bill. This is not a proposed bill. It's just in draft stage, and they've got a lot of work to do on it. But I don't know how you're going to be able to pass a bill that violates your privacy. How are you going to ever make it work?
I don't know. It's, and a lot of the arguments have been, the people that are pointing the finger at Tim Cook and saying that he's being disingenuous about various things and with respect to the reasoning behind encrypting an iPhone, for example, or iOS. And I just said, wait a minute. So on my phone, I have my LastPass manager, right?
Yeah.
And so I've got 3 layers of encryption on my phone, but I've got this LastPass manager, and if somebody could somehow crack into my phone and then crack into that, I'm screwed, because it's got passwords not only to everything, but also all of my clients as well. And then I've got my Schwab account app. All of which I have to log into, but Google Wallet, Wells Fargo, Apple Pay.
Could you keep listing these? Hang on, slow down. I'm writing these down. You
have on PayPal, et cetera. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to have any of this stuff potentially out there in the open. I don't want somebody to go through my chat messages, my emails, and all of that kind of stuff. And, of course, that's the flip side of the argument is, yeah, but if you were a terrorist, then we'd want to get into your phone and see all that stuff, see who you're communicating with and who you're sharing stuff with. But my argument would be, okay, but if I was, I wouldn't be stupid enough to be using my own phone. I go buy a burner phone, and use that, just throw the thing away. So, I mean, it's like, hey, look, if you want to catch the stupid terrorists, then put a back door into everything. if you want to catch the real terrorists, then you better use some other methods, because, you know, deleting encryption, putting a back door into everything is not the answer. But anyhow, yes. So this last top tech story, I actually want to segue off of
this for you, Steve.
Well, and this is all about Google's parent company is really moving away from Revolve, which is a smart home device maker.
Well, they bought the company a couple of years ago.
Right.
And
well, Nest did before Google bought Nest.
So they're going to basically brick all of these things that people pay $300 for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That are, it's a smart home hub similar to smart things.
Yep.
Right? But they're not, I mean, they're going to stop supporting it, but they're, and I guess in this sort of category, this is not, you know, if they're not going to support it, then security issues would crop up over time. But if I was, a customer of this, I'd be pretty pissed unless they send me a $300, you know, coupon to buy something.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean?
No kidding.
Or $150 or something, you know, or a free Nest. Send me a Nest.
And in this article, the thing that I loved was this CEO of a medical app company, Televero, who's infuriated by this decision. He wrote a Medium post about the impending closure, labeling it a pretty blatant FU to every person who trusted in them and bought their hardware. And that's exactly, I mean, I've seen all kinds of comment threads on this and so on. Now, I just want to bring up one thing, just a 2-second segue, 2-minute. I got my SmartThings version 2 hub. And it was so frustrating to try to delete everything. I actually ended up going in and setting up a separate account. And then I still couldn't get everything connected. I couldn't get anything connected, actually. And it took me 4.5 hours to...
There's no upgrade path at all that takes your old setting?
No.
Wow.
No. And what you have to do is you have to actually go in with all of the Z-Wave devices, for example, and you actually have to deregister all of them from the old hub and then re-register them. Now, it's not a big deal for me because I have, I don't know, probably have 12 devices. But I was reading one of the threads about a guy who has 120 devices, and he upgraded from the V1 to the V2 hub. And he said if it hadn't been for the spreadsheet I put together, he actually numbered every device, and then in the next column had the name of the device and then had what room it was in and all of that. He actually created this whole spreadsheet, and then he had to deregister all 120 devices and then reconnect them to the V2 hub. And I was so pissed off that I ended up writing quite a nasty thing to support as we were going back and forth, and I ended up blind carbon copying Ben Edwards, which I'm sure he did not appreciate. But the bottom line is that I swear to God, if I have this much problem and I'm a geek, imagine, you know, if I had my neighbor across the street, you know, who's a great guy but is not technical, he'd be clueless. And so, you know, I'm waiting for Samsung to say, nah, we're not going to do this, or we're going to do something else. And the opportunity that exists is if this was super simple and a no-brainer, and I could walk into Best Buy and buy things like crazy, and everything worked with the hub, I'd be buying stuff probably every week. More switches and more sensors and et cetera, et cetera. But right now, it's still way too hard.
Yep.
So
what's surprising is we're, 4 or 5 years into this thing?
I know.
Right? It's not like it's brand new tech.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, boys, let's go to our cool thing of the week. This is my favorite thing of the whole thing.
And the spoiler is Steve's is not his smart thing hub.
Right. That's right.
That's not his cool thing of the week.
That's right. That's right. Not. Well, I was going to make it my iPad Pro, but that's actually for last week. But anyway.
Yeah, well, you talked about it already last week.
Yeah, I know I did.
So, you mentioned it. So are you still loving it loving it? Or is it?
It is. It is.
Tell me about the pencil thing experience. Is that
the pencil is... here's the thing. I found a note-taking app that allows me to handwrite a note, and then it does character recognition.
Wow.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Microsoft OneNote does that too.
Well, I haven't figured out the character recognition because I use OneNote all the time, and I'm using OneNote with a keyboard and my iPad to type in. But But the thing is these where you can handwrite notes and draw things and all that. This is always what I wanted to do, but guarding against the wrist thing meant you had to slide something up and all that, and it was just a pain in the butt. And the Apple, if you're using the Apple Pencil and the app recognizes the pencil, then you can just write the thing right on it, just like you would normally on a tablet. And it's changed my life already. It's only been a week and a half.
Good.
So.
Okay.
But you go with your cool thing there, young man.
Which young man are you talking
I was just
about?
Tim's saying, oh, is it me or is it Phil?
I think it's Tim.
Phil is the youngest, so, you know.
Am I the youngest?
Yeah.
What do you say? Oh. Get out of town. Well, it's the way I eat, I think. This is
no,
really
it's you color your hair.
Okay. Well, my cool thing of the week happened just yesterday. And just, you know, I'm sorry that I do harp back to BuzzFeed on numerous occasions, but I think we do some pretty cool stuff. But yesterday, BuzzFeed was basically took a live event viral for the first time ever. And by no means was it anything earth-shattering, but over 800,000 people watched Facebook's live video of BuzzFeed employees wrapping rubber bands around a watermelon
until it exploded. Yeah.
And this about 45 minutes.
This thing was huge.
I believe it was 807,000 people. Some a huge amount of, it's like, I can't remember. Let me see if I can find the number of just the number of comments alone on Facebook Live. So
yeah,
I mean, it was amazing. I kind of Googled just to see, you know, I put in BuzzFeed watermelon in a search. It's kind of amazing how many articles, how many reports on the watermelon thing actually showed up. And Wired did this really interesting thing. Seven TV shows with fewer viewers than BuzzFeed's exploding.
I saw that.
Video, which I think is, remember, oh, first and God. Foremost, it's a live event, so it's not like it's going to happen every week. So yeah, there's a tough spot.
But the review or the recording has had almost 8 million views already.
Yeah. Yep.
So
it's incredible.
Is like this a big deal or is this somebody else?
I'm sorry. What was that?
Was this a Zay Frank production or is this another?
Yeah, it's all, I think it was done at Yen California offices at BuzzFeed. Motion Pictures.
Seems like a crazy idea. Unless it was Gallagher's birthday or something.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You know,
right.
We actually, there was another live video the week before we did, where we actually put baby goats in Zay Frank's office and did that on Facebook Live. But clearly not as much of a cliffhanger as wrapping rubber bands around a watermelon, which is, I still think, I'm always amazed at the stuff these guys come up with. But does it have, you know, great ramifications for, you know, more deep and important video? I suppose it can, but you know, it's also just a lot of fun. Yeah. I thought it was a cool thing.
Well,
it is.
And I'm proud of it. So.
Good.
So I don't, Steve well, responded when I sent him the link yesterday in a less than complimentary way. It's just sort of, you know, one more nail in the coffin of humanity.
Well, exactly. Well, I wonder, see, what's interesting about this to me is the fact that tonight Michelle and I are going to go see Ira Glass, you know, host of This American Life at the State Theater for his Reinventing Radio show. And so I was thinking about this when I was watching this BuzzFeed video. Yes, I was one of those 8 million. And thinking, how is the success of things like this going to shift watching live events? Because Michelle and Alex and I at dinner last night were talking about the reason that, you know, we virtually watch zero television live, except sporting events, you know, the Academy Awards, that kind of stuff. And how will the buzz of something, hey, you got to see this, you got to see this, and people are going to want to participate in it as an event. And that I thought that was pretty interesting.
I think it's interesting because, you know, I didn't necessarily when Zuckerberg talked about video live on Facebook, I thought, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be necessarily a game changer. The fact that Facebook offers a platform for streaming video is probably the biggest piece here because it has such a huge audience already wired in.
Yeah.
You don't have to basically work nearly as hard to go out and discover audience when you post something on Facebook. So,
right.
But I found it sort of this viral live piece was really interesting to me. So,
yeah. Well, Mr. Tim, what's yours, young man?
Well, mine is a Kickstarter that's done by a guy from Zimbrota. I'm not sure if we talked about his time lapse intervalometer when it came out a couple of years ago or not, but he's got a new one that has a preview, and an intervalometer is a timing device for the shutter of your DSLR, and it's for doing time lapse photography. Hmm. And with the time lapse plus here, you're able to hook it to your camera, and then it has preview and some other effects that are added. And if you look at the video, it looks really cool. So, and I thought, well, this is a cool Minnesota thing.
Yeah,
very nice.
Very nice.
It's $320 though, so it's a little spendy. But
yeah.
But
doing time photography,
and it doesn't exist yet, right?
Not yet, but it will soon.
Okay, there you go.
Cool,
Steve.
Well, mine is kind of out there a little bit, but obviously because I'm interested in the Internet of Things and doing the IoT Fuse conference coming up on April 22nd, that MIT's Professional Education Group just announced a new online course for the Internet of Things called the Internet of Things Roadmap to a Connected World. Now, it is $500, but if you, anyone listening, has any interest in this category, or if you have to do due diligence for your company relative to what's going on, this could be a really great course to do. And it's all online. It's all, you know, in video and so forth. But you also earn a certificate of completion from MIT on it. And it's, if you go through the course outline, I mean, it goes through the architectures, the Web of Things, wireless protocols, data storage, localization, security, robotics, blah, 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 applications. So, I mean, when you come out of this, you're going to have a really, really good, solid overview of what's going on in IoT and a real good, solid working knowledge, I think. So I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, $500 sounds like a lot if you got to pay it out of your own pocket. But, boy, I got to tell you that having been in corporate America for a long time, if you are in any kind of analyst position or leader in a functional area that has anything to do with this, this is chump change. It's petty cash. So I
did you see? You see the instructors for this class?
Yeah, yeah. Phil Wilson, is he on here? No.
No. If you know anything about the internet or the history of the internet, you'll recognize Tim Berners-Lee.
Correct.
His name. He's one of the instructors. Yep. So $500, I can get a certificate that says I went to MIT. No matter what, just
yeah. Not that you got a degree from MIT though. Don't be putting that on your resume, Phil. Come on.
All right. Well, definitely got to put it on the resume. But I think this is really interesting. $500 might be a little spendy, especially if you can go to Internet of Things IoT Fuse. I mean, you get a lot of the same sort of education.
Well, you're going to learn a lot, but you know, again, it's nice to have a base. I took a course, an online course that actually Cory Doctorow pitched on Boing Boing, and I went and signed up for it and went through it, and it was all about cybersecurity. And the good news was, is I knew probably 70% of what was presented, but for me, the 30% were ahas, like, oh my God, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. You know, and so it was worth it to go through the course, and this particular one was free, so that was good. But so anyway, so that's good. You know, for those of you who are on iOS devices too, I would strongly encourage you to go to download the iTunes U app on your iOS device and look at all the free courses that are there. I took one that was like a genetics 101 just because I was interested because of my whole 23andMe adventure for years, and I don't know nearly enough, and I went through it, and I just watched the videos. I didn't like go through the whole course and take quizzes and all that, and it was very enlightening. So anyway, that's
cool.
My cool thing.
Very cool thing. Upcoming events. Well, I'm off to AlderConf today, so we'll talk about that.
11 o'clock.
Week. Yep. So I'm heading out for that, but IoT Fuse, sorry to say, is sold out, right?
It is.
And your waiting list pretty long?
It is, but get on the waiting list because we're going to be live streaming the keynotes.
Very nice.
So I'm responsible for that. I did some due diligence. I got to tell you that I should have put that as my cool thing. In your YouTube account, YouTube now has beta streaming. They've had it since last summer, but I've been testing it extensively. And I got to tell you, I am really, really deeply impressed by how good it is. And that's a whole topic. It's live streaming in your YouTube account.
Okay.
So there's a piece of software you can actually buy this. It's $10.
Okay.
And throw it on your Mac or PC.
Are you going to mic these properly, or are you going to just use the camera mic from way back in the back?
Nope. This is at the University of St. Thomas, and the we're going to tap in with just plug into XLR inputs and get
into the room system.
Yep, into their audio cool. system. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. If we had our Insta mics.
If we had them, yeah, if they were doggone things would ship. Coming soon, though.
Coming soon.
These are for everyone listening. Insta mics was one of my cool things a long time ago. And it was a Kickstarter. Was it Indiegogo or Kickstarter?
Kickstarter, yeah.
And it's a little,
no, it was Indiegogo. You're right. Indiegogo.
It's a little microphone that is, probably half the size of a smartphone. And you can place it anywhere. And you can then, like, even with your phone, you can tap into it and use that as the mic source. So it's right by the person. And of course, good audio makes good video. If the audio is bad, I don't care how good the video looks. Nobody cares. So there you go.
So anyway, and then so what else is coming up? Maker Faire, the Mini Maker Faire. Probably ought to check that out if you get a chance.
I think that would be good.
Coming up on the 14th of May. So
yeah, there's a lot going on in May.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Lots happening. So, right. And then Mobile Twin Cities is next Tuesday, by the way. Want to check that out, tvOS. And we're going to have a little introduction to the Foji app from the fine folks at Foji. And, of course, food and drink. Join us at BuzzFeed on Tuesday night. You'll find that on meetup.com. So,
all right.
There you have it.
Well, we'll talk about that and other stuff next week on
the Minivate Gang podcast.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Every day I had a blue. Every day I had a blue. When you see me worry, baby, because I hate to lose. Yeah, nobody loves me. Nobody seems to care. Yeah, nobody loves me. Nobody seems to care. It's big, so bad luck and trouble. No, I had a my share. Yeah, gonna pass my sweet case now. Move down on the line. Yeah, gonna pass my sweet case. Move on down the line. Nobody worry, and there ain't nobody cry. every day I had a blue, every day I had a blue. When you see me worry, baby, because I hated to lose. Yeah, nobody loves me, nobody seems to care. Yeah, nobody loves me, nobody seems to care. It takes a bad luck and rub, who know I had a my share. Yeah, gonna pass my sweet case now, move down on the line. Yeah, it's gonna pass my sweet case, move on down the line. Nobody worry, and there ain't nobody cry. Mm-hmm.